Okay. How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
Yeah, sounds good. You guys are a little quiet, but that's okay. You guys will get louder, I'm sure. Just want to encourage you all and just say how grateful it is to see you all here today. I think it's amazing. You know, there's quite a few people here, and I really feel like God wants us to be in His church. He wants us to be surrounded by His believers. He wants us to be engaging, getting out there. So I think it's just awesome to see you guys all here today. We've been on this Inspire series. I spoke a couple weeks ago, and Cam delivered a message last week, and I just thought it was so good, so fitting, so timely. So today I just want to continue on that thought and on that note of being inspired. The Bible, it's not just a book. It's a collection of people's voices and stories, and these stories really inspire us. And these stories vary from person to person, and they have different experiences, and even their freedoms look different. The rich young ruler, his freedom looked different from the woman caught in adultery. So what inspires you today? What is the biggest story you can think of? You know, we all tell stories, and some of us, they just get bigger every time we tell them. Like when we say the fish was this big, then it gets to be this big. So the question is, what is the biggest story you've ever heard of? And for me, it's God's redemptive work and love in this world. What He did by sending His Son Jesus, that is the most amazing story. And when Jesus was here, He didn't just teach and He didn't just answer questions, but He told stories, and they were called parables. And there's just such a great power. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, I just ask that You would be with us today. I just present myself as an offering to You to deliver Your words, God. Just use me and speak to me, God. And I pray for Your people here today that You'll open their ears to hear Your word, God. We invite Your Holy Spirit in here today to just take control of this service. Yes. And we just thank You for Your great and amazing love, God. Amen. Amen. So today my message is titled, Love God, Love Each Other. And that comes from something Jesus said. You know, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? And He shared that these are the two greatest commandments. And I feel when Jesus says that, we should pay a little attention. Right? The word of God is imparted by God to His followers, and then they're written down as Scripture. This is what makes the Bible. Now, there are some words in the Bible that are directly from God Himself. You know, these are called the red letters, basically just the words that Jesus spoke. Jesus being fully God, when He speaks in the Bible, is God Himself speaking. All Scripture is God-breathed, it says, which means all Scripture is inspired by God. But when Jesus talks, it's actually God talking. To me, this gives it a certain weight. And when God in human form says that these are the two greatest commandments, I personally feel we should put some priority on these. We should put some importance on these two things. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, we need to be following these two commandments. You think of anything else in your life, let's take for an example, a diet. If you're on a diet, and there's all these rules you have to follow and restrictions, but they say these two things are the two most important things. You have to do these two things to maintain healthy weight and to be healthy. You're going to listen to those two things. It's why most successful businesses and companies, they always have two things that they hold in highest priority. These are referred to as a vision and a mission statement. So a vision describes the future desires of a business. It's the position of a company, sometimes current, but more often it's how they want to be in the future, what our company will look like in the future. The mission statement, it focuses on objectives that will help you live out your vision. So these two things work together to provide a statement of the company's goals, their priorities, and their values. Here at City Light Church, we have our own vision and mission statement. Our vision is to reach people for Jesus. That's what we would like to accomplish. And our mission is how we do our vision And that's by making biblical disciples through relational environments. It's simple. But when we say these two statements, you guys get a good sense of what City Light is, of our purposes, our goals, and our values, just by two statements. When Jesus is asked about the greatest commandments, he's casting vision. He's casting a mission. We are called to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. That's the vision. And we do this through the objective and mission of loving our neighbor. Looking at these commandments in this light, I feel like it's going to help us in being disciples, being a witness to Jesus, for Jesus, to those around us. As a vision, loving God with all your heart, all your soul and mind, that's our goal. And thinking of loving our neighbor as our mission to help us love God more, it helps put these things into perspective, I feel. Sometimes we can overcomplicate things, but it's so simple. You can't separate these two commandments. They're so intertwined. They're almost one in the same. Loving God, loving your neighbor. We see this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is a command. Whoever loves God must also love their brother and sister. It's not an option. He doesn't say, well, you can follow me and hate this guy and not like that guy. No, you must love your brother and sister. We live in a world of hate, don't we? We hate each other for so many different things. Mostly we hate each other for our differences. We hate each other for our different beliefs, our different social standings. We hate each other for our different skin colors. We hate each other for different political views. That's what the world tells us. It tells us just pick a side and stick to it no matter what. The world says to identify with the group and push out anybody else who doesn't fit into that group. Right? But what does God tell us? God tells us to love. Love. Jesus preached it, God is it, and followers of Jesus have died in the name of it throughout the years. That's how important this is. Love will change the world, right? What does hate do? Hate just pushes the devil's agenda to steal, to kill, to destroy. But love advances God's mission. It's an all-out love. It's an unconditional love, a sacrificial love, a furious love. A love that will come after you, meet you where you at. It's never ending. Love is going to change the world, and love is what's going to bring people to Jesus. That's why it's so important for us at City Light. If our vision is to reach people for Jesus, it starts with love. There's this story in the Bible about a young ruler, and this guy comes to Jesus. He asks Jesus, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus answers him, and he says, "You know the commandments. Don't steal, don't murder, do not commit adultery, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother." And the man replies, "Yeah, all these, I've kept those since I was a boy. You know, I'm good to go, Jesus." But Jesus says, "One thing you lack." And sometimes in our lives, I think we're like that. We're like, yes, I'm on fire for God. Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. I do that. I do those things. And then Jesus says, "Well, one thing you lack." And you're like, "Well, I'm not listening to that." It's like sometimes when someone's up here preaching and you're like, "Amen, testify, hallelujah." And then all of a sudden you're really quiet. And then you know that you're doing a good job as a preacher. You know you struck a nerve because people are being convicted. And Jesus looks at this man and he says, "One thing you lack. One thing you lack. Go sell everything, all your treasures, everything you have in this world, and you're going to have treasure in heaven. Do that and follow me." Well, when the young man heard this, you know, he's so sad because he was so wealthy. And he had so many things that he held in such higher priority than God that he couldn't do it. And he went away. Last week, Cam talked about our inability to serve two masters, that our heart can't be torn in two different directions. He gave us a challenge. He said, "What area in your life are you holding back in?" And the truth is, we all need this reality check. We need to ask ourselves, where are we holding back? Jesus asked all of us to give up everything and to follow him. This story reminds us that our love for Jesus needs to be an all-in love. It can't be a divided love. It has to be a focused love, fully devoted. We cannot let our heart be pulled in different directions. We have to be in Jesus and not in the world. Right? You always hear that. Be in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. And this doesn't mean you need to be poor. Doesn't mean you don't need to have any money. But it means we need to recognize that all we have belongs to God. Everything. All of our money, all of our possessions, the next breath you breathe, it belongs to God. We love him so much, we can't let a silly thing like money get in the way. So I want to pick up this story after the rich man leaves. You know, so often we end there. But it's really important to keep reading. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" The disciples heard Jesus, and their thought was, if this is true, it's impossible to get to heaven. With this standard, this high of standard. And maybe you hear these words today about how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God, and it just leaves you feeling a little hopeless. Seems so hard. We live in a country of prosperity. You know, the poorest people in Canada are still among the richest 20% of people in the world. You think about that for a second. In the world's eyes, we're all rich. And this is why we have first world problems, right? These are things that are so trivial, and yet they cause us so much anxiety and so much anger, and we get so frustrated over them. Things like not having a Wi-Fi signal, or the Wi-Fi signal not being strong enough, or not having the password to get into the Wi-Fi. You know, people at this church are like, "What's the Wi-Fi password? What's the Wi-Fi password?" Like, you can't take another breath without the Wi-Fi. And then people are always complaining about running out of things, right? You run out of toilet paper, and you run out of milk, and it's the end of the world. How are we going to go on living? Or maybe you go to the coffee shop and they don't carry almond milk and you're just livid. How do you not have almond milk? Come on. And I am guilty of these first world problems. You know, I complain. I'm human. I really love to hike. I mean, that's why I moved out here, close to the Rockies. It's amazing to see God's glory. And we were on a hike recently with my family. We're going up the mountain. And partway through, I lost my GPS signal. You know, I have this fancy watch and it tracks my hike. And it gives me kind of a story. Like, it shows the whole map of where I went. And I've never had this happen, but we were in the middle of nowhere, and the GPS signal was gone, and I started to complain. Like, how am I going to know how far I went? How am I going to show other people how far we went today? And then we lost cell phone connection, and you can't get on social media. Like, what did people do before? Did they just hike a mountain and not show everyone about it? Like, that's why we have social media, right? To prove how good we are. Like, I want people to know I did this. But after a while, you know, I'm with my family, I check myself, I check my attitude, and I realize this isn't a big deal, and I enjoy it. We finish the hike, we get down, but believe me, as soon as I was in cell phone reception, I was posting some photos. That's right. Point is, we're so blessed in this world, aren't we? And we can easily take it for granted. We just need to realize how good we have it. All this to say, I can understand the feelings of the disciples when they say how hard it is for rich people to get into heaven. How can we be saved when Jesus says it's so hard? And I love how when Jesus poses these questions, he never leaves us hanging. Right? He always gives us an answer. So Mark chapter 10, 27, we see the answer. Jesus looked at them and he said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." With God all things. So it is impossible to get to heaven on our own. But because of the grace that God extends us, it's possible with God. It's not in our own power. It's just his grace. In fact, not only is it possible to have eternal life with God, but he says all things are possible. That carries some huge weight. Like, I want to serve a God that big. I want to serve a God that powerful. I want to serve a God where all things are possible. It's even possible to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's not only possible, but it's a command. command that Jesus gives us to love the people around us. Not only in their good times, not only when they're being nice to us, but also when things are tough. We all go through tough times. We live in a fallen world. Sometimes things just suck. And we need friends who are going to be there for us. You know, when someone's lost everything and they have nothing left to offer you, maybe their attitude gets hard. Maybe they become bitter, hard to be around. We still are called to love them. An example of this in the Bible, it's found in the book of Ruth. Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, and their two sons, Malon and Kilian, they leave Bethlehem and they head to Moab because there's a famine. And they want to escape the famine. They hear there's food there. While they're in Moab, the two sons marry two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And while they're there, Elimelech died, Malon died, and so did Kilian. Naomi lost her husband and her two sons while there. She was left with nothing, and she decides to go back to Bethlehem with her two daughters-in-laws. While en route, Naomi decides, this isn't fair. I'm not going to bring Ruth with me and Orpah with me. She tells them, I have nothing left to offer you. I have no more sons. They're dead. Just go home. Just go home. And, you know, they're saddened. But Orpah goes back and goes back home. But Ruth, she decides to stay. You know, the Bible says that she clings to Naomi. And you have this picture of her just reaching out, grabbing Naomi as hard as she can, and not letting go. The words that Ruth gives Naomi in this time, they are so powerful. Every time I read this passage, it just fills me with hope. It inspires me. Like, this series inspires. You want to see a moment in Scripture that is inspiring, you just have to look at this passage. It's found in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." This is an amazing passage. This is an amazing response from Ruth. In a time where she could have easily turned away and gone back home. In a time where Naomi said, here, go. She gave her the option to leave. But she made the choice to love. Ruth puts her self-interest aside and sacrifices in order to comfort Naomi, in order to be there for Naomi. Ruth realized she was in that moment for a reason. And she stayed in that moment. She wasn't a follower of God, but she saw enough in Naomi to want more. In a sense, Ruth is just giving up her old life. She's giving up everything she had known, everything she had believed in, to follow after the one true God. Because of this, she was rewarded. As you read the book of Ruth, you see one of the greatest romantic stories in the Bible, right? Ruth and Boaz. It's just thrilling and amazing to read. And because of Ruth's devotion and her love for God, she is rewarded. And her lineage leads to Jesus. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. You know, David who killed Goliath. David, who was this amazing king, a man after God's own heart, came from this woman. Her devotion in God brought her back so much blessing, and she was part of the greatest story ever told. Do you sometimes ask the question, what am I doing here? Why am I going through this? Why am I in this situation? Do you get wrapped up and focused on the negative? You know, we can do this in every single environment. You know, sometimes we do this in church. We're like, man, did you see what so-and-so was wearing? Did you hear what so-and-so said? Do you see what's happening in so-and-so's marriage? Did you hear what the preacher said? This is disgraceful. You know, I might as well just try a different church. Or it can happen in our job. Man, I hate this job. My boss is always on my back. You know, he never gives me any appreciation. Everything I do, I want some compensation for it. Maybe I should just quit. And sometimes we do this in hard times when we're suffering physically, right? Like, I'm suffering so hard right now. I'm in so much pain. None of my prayers are being answered. Just when I thought I had a good report, all of a sudden the news comes back worse. You know, I've been praying so hard, but God's doing nothing in my situation. Maybe I should just give up. Give up my faith. We all have these situations and these troubles. Ruth could have easily let her situation and her troubles, but she doubled down. She didn't give up. She said, I'm going to stay where I'm at, and made an even greater commitment to stick out and press in. Whether it's your church or your job or the struggle you're going through physically, the struggle you're going through emotionally, whether it's financial heartache that you're going through, I'm here to encourage you today to stay the course. Stay the course. Don't complain, but refrain. Don't run away, but remain. And don't fall apart, but sustain. Refrain, remain, sustain. Just remember those three things. God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And he doesn't just know it, but he's going through it with you. He's walking beside you, step by step, every step of the way. God's going to help you endure. You just need to surround yourself with people who are going to love on you. And you need to love on those around you. What you do in those times will influence the people around you to such a greater extent. When you're going through your struggles and you reach out to God, such a great example. God will use you right where you are. And anything you give back to him will come back 100-fold. After Jesus tells his disciples, anything's possible with God, he says in Mark chapter 10, verses 29-30, truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children. Get some water. Fields. Fields along with persecutions. In this age, in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. In the last, first. Sometimes God doesn't want to change your situation. He wants to change your mindset. Things around you may be glim, but he doesn't want to help out everything around you. He wants to change your thinking. You're here for a purpose. No matter what you're going through, you're here for Christ. Don't be distracted by what the world offers you. You know, everything the world offers, it shimmers, shines, it glimmers, but it's all going to turn to dust. It's all going to rot. All that stuff that draws you in is simply a distraction. To everything, there's a season, a time. To everything, there's a purpose under heaven. We hear about that in Scripture, right? About how God has a plan. Don't try to escape from the amazing plan, the amazing story that God has for you. You're going to miss out on so much if you go into the direction of the world. But if you double down like Ruth did, and you go on with your walk with God, and you go all in, and you give everything to follow God, if you suffer for the sake of the gospel, then you will become an overcomer. And you're going to experience all that a walk fully to God commits. Like, you need to be committed to God. I don't want to miss out on anything. How about you guys? Do you want to miss out on what God has planned for you? Can we commit to loving one another, even through the tough times? I know in this world of first world problems and instant gratification, being fed all we have desired, you think about the word commitment. Commitment has lost a lot of its weight. You know, I feel like commitment used to mean something. But it's almost impossible to see past ourselves, our own situation, to look at our neighbor who is suffering. Right, especially with these restrictions. You can't go out. You can't go to your neighbor's house. But we're supposed to love our neighbor. How do we do that? It's so hard to even get close. I know that things are coming against us. There's an enemy out there, and he wants us to stop meeting together. He wants to destroy what he's created, not to love our neighbors. But God sees you, and he sees me. Enough to send his son to die for us. We deserve to die for our own sins. We're wretched. But he says there's worth to our souls. With God, all things are possible. Redemption is possible. Love is possible. Forgiveness is possible. Hope for tomorrow is possible because of what God has done. Freedom is possible. The chains that wrap you up, the chains of sin, the chains of guilt, depression, and fear, all those can be taken away because of what Jesus did. When you go through struggles, don't let them break you, but allow them to make you. I'm going to repeat that. When you go through troubles, don't let them break you, but allow them to make you. It's our troubles and hard times that make us the people we are today. They don't destroy us, but God uses what the devil plans for bad, and he turns it for good. Everything. When I look back on my life, I see so many times when God was working. Even I have those times and moments where I felt hopeless, like things just weren't going to be okay. It's so healthy to look back and just see what God has done. And sometimes it's only until we look back that we can see what God has done. It's a healthy process. Don't look back at all the negative, but say, in those hard times, like, God was there. He put these people in my life. He changed my situation. You know, it's amazing when you look back what you can see. What comes to mind when I look back at God moving in my life, it's definitely when we brought life into this world. The birth of my children, these are always tense times. You know, every healthy birth is a miracle. Seriously, there's so many things that can go wrong, so many complications. I've shared before about delivering my fourth child, Briella. We didn't quite make it in time, so she came out in my truck, and I caught her. The doctor said I delivered her, but really it was more of a catch. And it was just an amazing experience, and God was there, and he kept her safe. Another tense delivery was the birth of my first son, Everett. While we're in the delivery room, Lisa was in labor, and Everett's heart rate started to slow down. And they were having trouble finding it. And before I knew it, like, the NICU was in there. All these doctors were in there. The room was full. And they pushed me aside. And I was like, what's going on? You know, I was fearful. I felt helpless. I didn't know what to do. So I just prayed. And I started to pray. And the doctor looked at Lisa and got all serious and said, you got to push this baby out now. So Lisa, she pushes him out on her first try. And then they tell her to stop pushing because they have to check him out, see if there's anything around his neck and stuff. But I remember whenever it came out and he was just so blue, like he wasn't the right color. And then the greatest sound ever was when he just caught a breath and he screamed so loud and cried, and slowly the color came back to him. I mean, even to this day, every time I hear that boy scream and yell, I just say, thank you, Jesus. Like, I can't even get mad. And he has the loudest voice ever. And he worships so loud and praises God so loud. And everything he's going through, his entire life, is just becoming an example of overcoming, persevering, and amazing faith of how God is always there. Lisa went on a retreat last weekend. And while she was there, you know, God spoke to her. She was in the Rockies, and she got to do some mountain climbing. It's pretty cool. I was super jealous. But I think we have a picture. Can you put that picture up? Yeah. So God spoke to her while she was doing this. She said, it was so hard to make it to the top. And she felt like giving up so many times. But every time she felt like giving up, there was another foothold, another spot to put her foot securely. And she made it all the way to the top. She said, this is how God's been there for us. Every time we were at the end of our own strength, every time we thought we couldn't make it, God gave us another foothold. Just when you think you can't take another step, one step at a time. Sometimes we wanted to run away and turn away, but God was always beside us, directing our paths, placing us in that foothold, telling us to carry on. What a powerful word. In our time of need, in our time when we have nothing left, God's there. One step at a time. Church, I believe we are in a time of planting roots, a time of remaining, a time of being there for one another in our time of need, a time of building authentic relationships, beyond surface relationships. And a world that looks for a way out, and a world that looks for the easy way, complains about first world problems, right? We want everything handed to us. That's why we have drive-through and skip the dishes and all those things. And we're looking for another way to be happy and to escape. God's calling us back to the source, back to the foundations, back to his word, back to what he preaches. God sent Jesus so we would have an opportunity at eternal life. Right now, our focus needs to be on the lost. And when we love each other, we love God. We get so wrapped up in loving God and our relationship with him, which is a good thing, right? We're called to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. But we get so focused. I know some of us, when we've been a Christian for a while, we like dive deep into our Bible readings. We spend so much time in prayer, so much time worship God in solitude. We want more. We want more of God. And we're seeking and we're reaching, and it can be frustrating. And we get so focused on the vision of God that we miss out on the mission of reaching other people. Sometimes we're going to be more satisfied if we just take our eyes off God for a second, put our eyes on the people around us who need God, and share God with them. Right? We're going to spend an eternity with God. One day he's going to say, "Well done, faithful servant." And we get to spend eternity with him. But right now we're here on this earth. So we need to be focused on the mission of loving people around us, loving your neighbor, people that truly matter to us, our friends and our family. We need to show God love by loving those around us. It's such a great question. How can you love God who you can't see if you don't love your brother who you can see? How? How is that even possible? You're a liar if you say you love God and don't love your neighbor. That's what he says. You're a liar. Let's get out there and show the world that Jesus lives and that Jesus loves and that we're there for them in their time of need. It's just like Ruth says, "Where you go, I will go." And it's like God says, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." God says it. So let's give that word commitment a renewed relevance. And let's get out there and start making authentic, biblical relations with people around us. Can we do that together? Are you inspired to go out and reach people for Jesus? I know I am. I mean, there's great examples in the Bible, but that was then, this is now. And we need to be in a time. There's a time for everything. This is the time to get together and to get out in the world and show them how great God is, how great his love is, because they need him. You know, if you haven't experienced him, you're missing out. That's what I'm telling you here today. His love is greater. His love is stronger. His love is so amazing. And it'll get you through anything you're going through, any struggle. Like, I'm not going to stand up here and complain about everything I've gone through, because when I look back, Jesus was there. And he got me through it. And not only that, but it's made me into the person I am today. And it's made you into the person you are today. And that is a great plan that God has for your life. He knew you in your mother's womb, knitted you together. He had a plan for you, a purpose for you. And you're not here today by accident. You're here today because God has put you here. And he wants to love on you. I want to love on you. This church wants to love on you. This church wants to love on so many more people. So let's bring them into this building and share the love of God with those around us. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, I just thank you so much for this message. I thank you for the blessing of relationship, God. The blessing that we can share our lives with each other. Father, I pray that we would have times where we could get together with people around us and just share the great news of your story. Nothing will come against you, Father. Nothing will come against you. You know, the world tries to come against you. Satan tries to come against you, but we're going to get out and we're going to spread your word. Father, I just pray that you would give us the power and the authority to do it, God. You're never going to leave us or forsake us. I just want to pray with anyone here who it's their first time. Maybe they've been to church. Maybe they just don't know what this relationship with Jesus looks like. But I pray that you would just tug on their hearts, God. You know, if that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus, it's so simple. You just have to say this prayer after me. You say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know only you can take away the sin of my life. I ask for you to come into my heart, be Lord over my life. I choose to follow you all the days of my life. I commit to you." Amen.